Blog Talk Radio.
And now, to honor America, especially the brave men and women serving our nation in the Persian Gulf and throughout the world, please join in the singing of our national anthem. The anthem will be followed by a flyover of F-16 jets from the 56th Tactical Training Wing at MacDill Air Force Base, and will be performed by the Florida Orchestra under the direction of Maestro Yaha Ling and sung by Grammy Award winner Whitney Houston.
Madden Voice, we are here, and in case you didn't look at the calendar, it is September 11th, 2012. In other words, it's 9/11, the 11th anniversary of 9/11, and we would be remiss here at the Madden Voice if we did not pay tribute to our brave men and women in our armed service, as well as take a moment to remember all of those that lost their lives on September 11th, 2001 in the terrorist attacks in this great country of ours. And that was our way to honor them. Whitney Houston, may she rest in peace. And in my opinion, the one of, if not the greatest, one of the greatest versions of our national anthem ever sung. So whatever you did today to commemorate this day, as they say, never, ever forget. With that said, let's move on. Best NFL talk you will find on the internet. We are here. We got, man, week one was something else. If anybody made picks of 16 games that got 16-0, I want to come hang with you. I want you to tell me what the lotto numbers are, because you and I are going to be friends, because there were some upsets and there were some performances that we just didn't know was coming. And but, you know, I don't do this by myself. I have two great co-hosts. In case you don't know who I am, Commissioner T here, you know who I am by now. And if you don't, hey, welcome to the Madden Voice. Commissioner T here. I'm the host of the Madden Voice, but I have two great co-hosts. And the first one is back when I ran the EAFL, the greatest Madden league ever assembled. This guy won the very first Super Bowl way back in 2005. You guys can believe that long ago. And since then, he has gone on to earn his Ph.D. So unlike those guys out there that have an honorary Ph.D., this man has a real live breathing monster. Thus, we call him Dr. Train. Dr. Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, T? Thanks for the intro, man.
Yeah, you know how we do. And now, you know, something with live radio, when you do live radio, you have to kind of go on the fly. And, okay, here he comes. I saw another number that I thought maybe K-Star was calling in from a different number. And I'm thinking, well, maybe he should tell me that. And that number is now gone. And actually, it probably was him, because now that number is gone. Now his real number is coming. I bet he's going to say, yeah, T, that was me. I'm sorry, man. I forgot. Anyway, this is Madden Nation Season 4 contestant, one of the greatest Madden players of all time. We know him affectionately as Ollie Quick, because he's quick on the sticks. You know him as the one and only, very disappointed this week, K-Star, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What's going on? And like Eminem said, no apologies. That was definitely me on the other end, but I had to make an audible like Peyton Manning did to my Steelers Sunday night and get back to this phone right here.
We will definitely be talking about that game, among other things tonight. We will definitely be talking about the Manning return. We will be talking about how did Andrew Luck look. We have a first-hand look at Mr. Luck, because we know somebody on this show saw the whole game. So, you know, and while his team whooped up on Andrew Luck, you know, I'm pretty sure he's going to give us an honest assessment on what he saw from this guy. And, of course, we're also going to talk about arguably the biggest upset of the weekend. Who thunk? Who would have thunk? And it's on if you're watching it, if you're listening now, it's on NFL Network, the replay. But RG3 took those Redskins into New Orleans and pulled off arguably the biggest upset of the weekend and took out the Saints 40-32. And just so many things to talk about this week on the Madden Voice. But as always, before we get into our incredible NFL talk, we like to do our own individual personal segments just to give us a chance to get on our soapbox. You know, here at the Madden Voice, we are not sports writers. No. We're not former big-time athletes. No. We're fans, but we're diehard fans, just like you. And we think we have a different perspective than you're going to hear on other shows or see on television. And from a fan's perspective, as Dr. Train likes to say, we like to cover the NFL. So with that said, we're going to turn it over to Dr. Train. And this segment is affectionately called Dr. Train's Philosophy. That's all you get.
That's not my personal cheering section over there.
There you go.
Once again, listeners of the Madden Boys, it's time for Dr. Train's philosophy. And so my philosophy is centered around a comment made after the Green Bay Packers lost to the San Francisco 49ers. And I think it was by the cornerback, Bush, if I'm not mistaken. Jerry Bush, whatever the guy's name is. Now, he made the statement that they didn't beat us. We beat ourselves. And if anybody loves NFL and wanted to watch a good game, that game was worth watching. Listen, I have one thing to say about that. You didn't play yourself, so you didn't beat yourself. The 49ers whooped up on the Packers from the beginning to the end of that game. They ran the ball down their throat. They put pressure on the quarterback. They stuffed the run all day long. And no, we're not even going to blame any games this weekend on the refs whatsoever, because the refs made bad calls all over the place, just like our normal refs would. So no games were lost due to the refs just making horrible calls. San Francisco won that game and outplayed them. And that's like, this is the third time I've heard a Green Bay Packer say that after losing. I think Matthew said it last year after losing to the Giants. We beat ourselves. As a matter of fact, I think 2010, when Chicago beat them the first game of the season, that's when Chicago had a rematch with them in the NFC Championship. They said the same thing. They lost the game by 3 points. They didn't beat themselves. They didn't, Chicago didn't beat them. They beat themselves. Look, you didn't play yourself, so you didn't beat yourself. played another team. You played another team that was as talented as you was all around, and they won. Suck it up. Get back on the field next week and show what you can do. Other than that, man, take the loss like a man. Come on. Don't cry. Somebody you beat yourself. Teams take advantage of the mistakes you make. That's what they're supposed to do. If you make mistakes and the team didn't take advantage of it, then, hey, you might come out winning. But if you make mistakes and the team take advantage of it, then, hey, that's what happens. You need to make late mistakes, but you didn't beat yourself. You got beat.
I can't even add anything because it's a 60-minute game. And if you felt like you weren't playing up to a certain level, you got plenty of chance to go back on that field and raise the bar. So I agree with you 100%, man. I can't even well said, bro. You on a roll, man. I mean, you know what I'm saying, man? Must be something about when you get a PhD because, oh, my God, I can't even lie. I'm looking for something to debate with here. I'm ready to jump in here and say, Train, you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, dude's right.
No exceptions, no excuses. The Mike Tomlin way. You can tell it's not a Mike Tomlin coach football team, by the way, because the Packers are always full of excuses after a game. It's, again, like you guys have said, it's we all played ourselves. We are rusty. Oh, you know, we just left some plays out there, which might be true. You might have left some plays out there, but they also took way more plays away from you than you could have ever made in that football game. The Niners were the better football team. It was hands down. A dominant game by the Niners, and the Packers just looked like they're just trying to play catch up and didn't know what the hell just smacked them in the face. And fact of the matter is, I'll tell you this, what that does say about the Packers are they're a very confident bunch, but they're very unaccountable, which means they're probably undisciplined, which probably means it's going to lead to more and more problems with this kind of mindset that they have.
My biggest problem with this statement is it just shows an outright disrespect to your opponent. As if your opponent isn't capable of beating you, and they are. Yeah, you went 15-1 last season. This is a whole nother season. Strap in.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you know what it is. I know what it is. Train went out and got his PhD. K-Star went back and listened to all the archives of the Madden Voice and realized how foolish he sounded and re-listened to all T-Bonics, and he said, okay, you know what? Commissioner T knows what he's talking about because you guys are making sense. I can't even add anything to it. So we're going to move on to my segment, my T-Bonics this week. And again, I kind of liked what I did last week. I think it came out good, with the simulcasting. And, you know, YouTube's got a new feature where you can actually live stream. I'm going to look into that, too. We may look into some live streaming of the Madden Voice, but all you get to see is me. So, you know, I don't know how many people want to sit down and look at me for 2 hours. But anyway, it's out there. But in the meantime, we're going to do the same thing. So I asked my co-host to indulge me for a minute. I got to go into Commissioner T mode and go into T-Bonics. So I'm actually going to do the YouTube at the same time for all the listeners out there, the podcast. The live listeners, you guys are going to get this, and then for all the people in YouTube land, you're going to get this too, so bear with me, but it shouldn't be long, but we're about to go into T-Bonics, so here we go. Commissioner T here, this week on the Madden Voice, and once again, I'm doing what I did last week. I'm live simulcasting, thus you see the headset, and so I'm live on the air Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com/TheMaddenVoice. We're live as we speak with K-Star and Dr. Train, but this is also this week's episode of T-Bonics, and this week is real simple. Coaching matters. You know, I was watching the games this week, and I couldn't help but realize that when I say things about certain teams performing or underperforming, and I relay it back to the head coach, and some people will comment and say, but the coaches coach and players play. I agree with you. There's no doubt about that. I agree with you. However, coaching matters. That's why coaches get paid $3, $4, $5 million a year. Not just the pregame, not just the postgame, but during the game on the field. I'm gonna give you a few examples. I've been saying for years that Wade Phillips as a head coach stinks. He went to Dallas, he coached Romo, nothing happened. Romo got a bad rap. People thought I'm making excuses for Romo. I'm not. I think Wade Phillips as a head coach is terrible. As a defensive coordinator, gifted. As a head coach, he's terrible. But then what happens? The Cowboys hire Jason Garrett. The Cowboys hire Rob Ryan. But last year, there's no offseason. So What you have a new head coach, you have a new defensive coordinator, a new system goes in, but there's no offseason. The Cowboys flounder. This year, full offseason, OTAs, training camp, mini camp, and yeah, there's 15 more games to go. I told you I liked what I saw in the preseason, and I like what they did in week one. And if you're watching me on YouTube, check out the archive of the Madden Boys. We're going to get into the Cowboy-Giant game, but the Cowboys did win 24-17 in New York. But that's not the only example. Let's look at the Saints. Let's look at the Saints and the Redskins. Now, I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the year. RG3 looked incredible. We're going to talk about that game, too. Drew Brees, he didn't look great, but he put up 32 points. But did anyone think that the Redskins would go into New Orleans and beat the Saints opening Sunday? No one, nobody thought that. Do you think it would have been the same outcome with Sean Payton on the sideline? We don't know. We'll never know. But you got to think that coaching matters. Last example, those Rams, the hapless Rams, the Rams that couldn't do anything, 2-14 last year. They hired Jeff Fisher. Great coach, 14 years with Tennessee, half a yard away from winning a Super Bowl. I mean, he's a great, great coach. And those Rams almost upset the Lions. Who would have? Now, they didn't win, but 27-23. And now you got to look at the Rams and say, well, wait a minute, maybe they got a few more wins coming this year. Why? Because they have a real coach in there. So I'm going to tell you guys something now. If you're rooting for your team and you don't have a head coach, just hang in there and wait. At some point, he's going to get fired. He's going to, you know, he's going to go. He's not going to be there anymore. And then they'll get a real coach. And when you get a real coach, somebody with a pedigree, somebody with some kind of background that understands how to coach this game, then, I don't care how much talent you have, it's only then that you can sit there and say, I think my team might be able to do something. That's my opinion, and I'm entitled to it. Check out the Madden Voice every Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com. We do the 2 or 3 hour live show. Check us out. Or if you don't remember this, go to Google. We're all over Google. And just go, the Madden Voice. You'll see us on Facebook. You'll see us on Twitter. And remember, the Madden Voice, ultimately, all feuds are settled on the field. All right, guys. I'm back. Any thoughts?
Well, you're right. Coaching matters, and that's why I didn't pick the Saints to win the division, because Sean Payton's out. Boom.
I like that. But I can't disagree.
Although, gee, did you pick the Saints to win that division?
I did because I still think that when you look at the division, this isn't an NFC East. This isn't, you know, it's not an AFC North. It's not an NFC North. I mean, when you look at that division, I really thought even without – I didn't think that they would be the same team that they've been. Let me be clear about that. And when you have a team that excels at the level that the Saints have excelled at and they take a drop, and I predicted that they would take a drop, did I really think that that the Bucs – Falcons, if you guys remember last year, I wasn't sold on them. And the Panthers, you know, sophomore slump, and we're going to talk about Cam Newton a little bit later. So, yeah, I thought that a 11-5 Saints team this year would be enough to win that division. And I'm sticking to it. I don't think 1 week's enough to start backing out of division picks, but there definitely should be some concern in New Orleans after what they experienced with the Redskins, but we're going to talk about that. Train, did you have anything to add?
Not really, man. I mean, I definitely understand that coaching matters on the field, man, because, you know, players are in the heat of the moment. You know what I'm saying? Coaches, you know, they're there. You got to, I mean, you game plan before the game, but sometimes you have to game plan within the game. And I look at that game with New Orleans and Washington, and I just felt like, if Sean Payton was there, there would have been some game planning in the game. You know what I'm saying? Because it was RG3 as a quarterback you had never seen before. You really didn't know fully what to expect from him. And, you know, the Redskins got the best of like I said before when we did this in the offseason, a dismantled Saints team. So, you know, just from that aspect alone, I think so too, man.
All right. Cool. All right, last segment before we get into game talk, and this one is K-Star, who has some thoughts on, surprisingly, K-Star has some thoughts on Peyton Manning. K-Star?
Yeah,
obviously I'm not happy about Peyton Manning's last football game because who was it against? But I wanted to touch on Peyton Manning and the impact he's still left in Indianapolis. If you go to any bar, if you were to go to any bar Sunday night, aside from the Steelers bar I attended, you would see the Broncos game, and not because of Sunday Night Football, but because it's Peyton Manning in Indianapolis. These people, from what I've gathered, from what I've heard in local news, TV, you know, radio, these Peyton Manning Bronco jerseys are selling just as much, if not more, than these Andrew Luck jerseys. It's insane. You know, these people, these Peyton Manning commercials, they're just all over it. Like, my Facebook status, being as I live here, a lot of friends who live in Indianapolis, and all I see, you know, are Peyton Manning this, Peyton Manning that, because no one's truly let go of the fact that Peyton Manning isn't the quarterback of the Colts anymore, you know? I was talking to a couple of people who are actually a little offended, although they shouldn't be, it's a little silly, that in these DirecTV commercials, Peyton Manning referencing himself as, you know, a Denver Bronco. Well, I just want to remind everyone that the owner made that, you know, decision at the end of the day of your football team. Be loyal. Listen, it would be god-awful if Big Ben, you know, his last few years, he played elsewhere. And I would watch him and I would root for him. But to go so far as many people have gone to almost make the player, you know, put that player ahead of the team, it's wrong, first of all. But it also says and stands to say that Peyton Manning is one of those type of players that make you almost forget about a team, for instance, because he's that good. And Peyton Manning generated a lot of revenue for Indianapolis. It's the reason why Indianapolis, they were hosting Super Bowl. You know, they put Indianapolis on the map. But people are still just, after week one, people are talking about, you know, here, Peyton Manning more than were Andrew Luck. It's astonishing to me because, you know, here's Andrew Luck, who I believe will be a very, very good to great core because of his skill set and diligence to the game. And, in fact, has had a similar start to what Peyton has. But just the impact this player has left on this community and this state and the economy and, this, you know, all that stuff here, it's insane. I don't know if anything's ever really happened like this before, where I'm not sure if it was the same impact in San Francisco where Niner fans became Kansas City Chiefs fans or not, but just the powerful presence as Peyton Manning, you know, pretty much the face of the NFL if you look at his commercials, it's quite telling. And honestly, I do want to add, after watching the game, it's almost like everyone forgot how good Peyton Manning is or Peyton Manning was, because the guy I saw on the football field, unfortunately, against my Steelers, the audibles he's calling, it's almost helpless at times because he's such an amazing quarterback who breaks the play down before, you know, the play even begins, pre-snap-wise. You know, because of that, he's going to be able to continue to be so good even if his physical skills have slightly diminished. Do you guys believe this man's the best man in quarterback, best quarterback in the league now? Because, honestly, we forgot him for a year, but I don't believe that San Francisco 49ers would have been able to do to the Broncos than what they did to Aaron Rodgers. So that's not because Aaron Rodgers isn't great. I just think Peyton Manning, his mind allows his greatness to always sustain.
Well, let me first take your first point. It's 1 week. Luck lost. Peyton won. And winning heals everything. And if Luck starts having any success, then it's going to go away. I've seen it too many times in football. And, you know, when you talk about Joe Montana, it was different because while Joe Montana went to Kansas City and had some success, Steve Young continued the tradition and had success in San Francisco. And so all it's going to take is for Luck to do what everyone predicts, which is to turn that team back into where it was with Peyton, at least on a wins and loss level. It's 1 week, you know, and it happens to be that Peyton went in to a tough first game, played like everyone remembered, while Luck went into a very tough first game. And, you know, I think as a rookie, and Train, we'll talk about it later, but as a rookie, did what he could, but, you know, different outcomes. Well, it's not fair. I mean, Peyton's, he's a pro. He's been doing this a long time. So hey, I think you got to give that time. And your second point, it's one game. I think Peyton played very, very well. But I don't think one game is enough to say that he's the best quarterback in the NFL. And I'm going to tell you the biggest problem, and it's your fault, K-Star. It's your fault because your very own Pittsburgh Steelers didn't beat that Broncos team with Tim Tebow. And so you don't beat him with Tim Tebow. You come back your very next game that counts, and then you don't beat him with Peyton Manning. Does that make Peyton Manning the best quarterback in the NFL? I'd say not just yet. Train?
Well, it definitely doesn't do a dent to his legacy. I agree with everything on the first one. I mean, actually, Indianapolis, and I know we'll talk about it later, but Indy will have a better record than Tennessee this year. They won't be last in that division. I'll let you know that now. You know, as far as Peyton Manning goes, I mean, that what he did Sunday definitely didn't hurt his legacy, and he'll still be, you know, it looked to me as I watched that game, Peyton Manning got more and more comfortable and more. By the time it was the fourth quarter, he looked like the old Peyton Manning. He looked like the Peyton Manning that takes everything at the line, makes all the changes, and boom, it's a first down. Make all the changes, and boom, it's a touchdown. It was fun to watch for me as a football fan. So I think Peyton's back, and, dude, it can only get better from there.
Okay. I need to, just real quick, my boy Jedi Capricorn is in the chat room, and I'm not ready to talk about the Cowboy-Giant game just yet. We will get to it. But I'm offended that this man is coming on in my chat room, and he's going to say luck, that the game was luck, that the Cowboys win was luck. I mean, you know, Jedi, you're a loyal listener, and we love you, man. We love your loyalty to your team. But really, man, come on, man. You know, when you guys beat us, man, you guys have never, ever heard me say that a Cowboy lost, the other team got lucky. I've never once said it, ever. And, man, give my team the props that they earned that night. They earned it that night in MetLife Stadium by beating the Giants, by playing them at their level, maybe even a little bit better. That was a win. It wasn't, just like K-Star said, Giants didn't beat themselves. The Cowboys won that game. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. And as far as, you know, you saying that the Giants will win the next game, well, let's just hope for both our sakes that next game matters. Let's just hope that when we meet the Giants in Dallas that we both have something to play for, because there's a lot of games between now and then. And in case you didn't know, the Eagles are pissed off and should be, and the Redskins are no team to take lightly. So I wouldn't worry too much about the Cowboys right now. There's a lot of other teams on your schedule. Giants, I think, have the toughest schedule in the NFL, if I remember correctly. So I think you got a lot of other teams you need to worry about right now, and worry about them Cowboys down the road a little way. Because if not, the game ain't going to mean anything. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say. I just had to address that because, you know, I just had to do it. But anyway, let us, you know, what I've been dying for 2 days is, and K-Star alluded to it a little bit, but I've been wanting to hear, now that K-Star Steelers have lost two games to these Broncos, I want to acquiesce. I want to sit back and become a fan of the Madden voice, which I am, and I want to listen to K-Star. I'm not necessarily make excuses, but I just want to hear your thoughts. And you don't have to regurgitate what we saw in the game. We know what we saw in the game. But just things that that we are not Steeler fans, you are. So just things that we wouldn't know, that you would know, to just help us with this, because, you know, you were pretty confident that the Steelers were going to go in there and win this game. Then help us out here, man. Help us out.
Absolutely. You know, no problem at all. I've been waiting to get on the podium. Look, Denver's beaten us two straight in Denver. Our free safety, our Pro Bowl free safety, Ryan Clark, cannot play in Denver. I don't think the importance of Ryan Clark to the Steelers scheme can be stated enough. When you saw Troy Polamalu have to play deep free for a good 60% of that football game, when you saw that Peyton Manning was able to control us where, you know, Troy would go because he didn't have a trustworthy Ryan Clark back there to take the deep into coverage, when you don't have a James Harrison playing, a former defensive MVP, these things matter. Now, did Denver earn that win? Absolutely. They were terrific. The no-huddle offense, however, as great as it was, I want to make this clear. The Steelers make adjustments, and they make adjustments at the line of scrimmage as well against the quarterback. Ryan Clark is a big part of that. We couldn't call certain coverage. We're a victim to the hurry-up offense, not only because Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning with it, but because we couldn't make the checks. We couldn't go into certain defenses we normally would go to in those type of situations. So I would say this. If the playoffs started tomorrow and we were to go to Denver, I'd be a little worried. Yeah, because we're without a third of our defensive play calls. We're without full strength with Polamalu doing what he does best around the box. And we're also susceptible to a big play on a deep end of coverage, down the field, you know, down deep down the sidelines, all that stuff. But in Pittsburgh, listen, you know, again, Payman had a great performance. He really did. But we've also seen the same Troy Polamalu who lurks around the box, disguises his blitzes, what he does pre-snap, take off Payman in the playoff game, send home the Payman off-led offense in the Colts in 2005. It has happened, and it would happen again had we had our playmaker in the backfield, that's Ryan Clark, backing up so Troy Polamalu can be Troy. It's really that simple. And the thing is, I also want to remind everyone, because people seem to forget, this is week one of a new offense, of a new Todd Haley installed product. That was week one of Mike Wallace coming back for his second week of just being around the Pittsburgh Steelers at all and getting in game shape. We're only going to get better. We had control of the game. We were up at halftime. We took the lead again in the fourth quarter. These things will not keep happening. The Steelers will only get better as the season progresses, as will the Broncos. However, with Ryan Clark in that game, Troy's allowed to be Troy. And last I checked, Troy Polamalu has made Peyton Manning's career pretty rough on him.
Well, I will give you this, and we're not going to make excuses, but I will give you this, that not having James Harrison out there, not having Mendenhall in the backfield, not having Ryan Clark, you can't underestimate those three players and what they bring to the Steelers. So I can't, as much as I would like to sit here and give you a hard time, I do know that that does matter. But that said, Train, let me ask you a question, and I don't know where the phone ringing is coming from, but if you guys can take
that
care of
that. That was from me. I've got to get it. Sorry.
Okay,
that.
Good. Excellent. But let me ask you, Train, you know, the Broncos have done this twice now with two different quarterbacks. One quarterback who's average at best, but one who is definitely headed for the Hall of Fame. Their defense is playing is pretty doggone good. They've got a lot of weapons on offense. Is this the beginning of a possible changing of the car? I can't ask K-Star this because, of course, he's going to say no. Okay, I can't ask him this because he's going to tell me no. But I'm going to ask you, Train, okay? Do you think that this is the beginning of maybe a changing of a guard in the AFC? Maybe we're going to start seeing the Broncos become a dominant force now in the AFC. What do you think?
Man, it's kind of hard to say it off one game. But if you had to just go off one game alone, I mean, it does. Now, true enough, like you said, the Steelers were missing some very, very important pieces on top of the offensive line not doing its job to keep, you know, keep the pressure off Big Ben.
Yeah, but that's
true. But when you look at, you know, Denver, you got a defense which was, you know, pretty much that same defense that was helping out Tim Tebow that I kept saying last season, but everybody gave Tim Tebow the credit for that.
Better now with Tracy Porter involved, too.
They got the defense, and now they have a quarterback who we know, who we can see from the game. It's
I'm
pretty
back.
Much. Did we lose T? Oh,
yeah, you lost me for a second, but I'm back.
Okay, you didn't miss much, but you know, you have that defense, and at the same time, you have a quarterback who we saw is almost pretty much back to normal. I mean, at the beginning of the game, he looked a little jittery, but as the game went along, man, I saw the same Peyton Manning I saw in Indianapolis that knows how to read defenses and break them down. So, changing of the guard, I honestly have to see more, but I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Denver turns into a dominant force in the AFC.
Well, I'm just going to say this. I have all respect in the world for the Steelers. We've said that a number of times. I don't think they're going anywhere. So, K-Star, you can relax. I'm certainly not thinking that the Steelers are going anywhere. But I think we're going to see more Denver this year. I think the fact remains is that they've had a very good defense. And now with the offense being able to score some points, no huddle offense, Peyton Manning, you know, I think they are going to be very relevant this year in the AFC. I think this is you cannot overlook them. They are going to be they're going to be. It's pretty much like looking at the old Colts, but with a better defense. That's how I saw it. And I'm not going off of one game. I'm going off the fact that a average quarterback named Tebow was able to go in there and win quite a few games last year. And the team is pretty much, they made a few changes. Pretty much the same team. New system, but very talented players, much better quarterback. So with that said, they went to the first round of playoffs last year. Now you bring Peyton Manning in. We've seen that he's playing at pretty high level. Look out. That's all I'm saying.
I want to add this real quick. First off, I want to say it was a very big game because of that same very reason that Ryan Clark cannot play in Denver. So if we were to play them in the playoffs, yeah, I'd be nervous because, again, you guys saw the game. You saw the chess match went on between Troy and Peyton. But, you know, Troy had to unfortunately be back in coverage deep, you know, playing the deep free because, you know, with Ryan Clark's absence. And that alone does put some fear into my heart. Only because I feel like we do need a fully equipped Steelers defense to really slow down the Denver Broncos and no-huddle Peyton Manning offense. However, again, you know, the Steelers are only going to get better. You know, Ryan Clark, hopefully play the rest of these games. Hopefully the Steelers can turn out more victories than the Broncos so they can play come to Pittsburgh, which I want to remind everyone, take a look at it. The Denver Broncos schedule is scary tough. You know, there's no guarantee they're going to finish the great record. Oh, yeah, they're absolutely a playoff team. They're absolutely going to win that division. I don't think that can be overstated enough. And definitely, I agree, you know, a Super Bowl contender. But still, you know, if they do have to go to a Pittsburgh, if they do have to go to, you know, perhaps a Baltimore or New England, we've seen before, you know, this may look like the Indianapolis Colts that, you know, Peyton Manning led for a decade. But I want to remind everyone, the Steelers went to that Super Bowl 3 years in a decade against Peyton Manning-led football team. So let's not just get all crazy with it either. They have a better defense.
The Colts never had a defense this good, number one. And let me just say one thing. One thing that's really bugging me, and I can't let this go. While I understand no Ryan Clark, while I understand no James Harrison, while I understand no what's the guy's name? Mendenhall. Okay, I get that. But the Ryan Clark thing that you keep mentioning, they knew this. When the schedule came out, they knew this. This isn't like an injury or something that you couldn't predict and plan for. You knew this from April, okay? You knew this 4 months ago that you're going to have to go into Denver and Ryan Clark's not going to play. And you had that much time to figure out. And then when did Peyton get signed? Was it May? June? May? Right? So you knew. You had months to prepare for this game. So I get it from a talent standpoint and what he means to that defense, but they've had months to sit here and game plan for this very game. So that's
absolutely
all I have.
I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm trying to say is I think that's a fatal flaw. If we have to play Denver in Denver, it takes a big chunk of our defense out. And for that, I think it's a huge reason as to why they keep turning out these W's against us.
We got to go back to coaching matters. This is got to go back to Mike Tibonix because as much respect as I have for Mike Tomlin, you know, it was clear that Polamalu was limited and he did what he could, but he had multiple duties without Ryan Clark being there. And you knew that, Tomlin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You knew that, you know, LeBeau. You guys knew that.
It was a great game to watch. However, again, I was very sad by the outcome, but seeing Peyton Manning versus Ben Roethlisberger, it was pretty entertaining. It was a very good watch. They caught fire the second quarter and it was on from there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. And you know, the Monday Night Countdown has a new feature called NFL Sound, where they play the soundtrack there. And you know, it was nice that Ben was so complimentary of Peyton, welcomed him back, and you know, they showed that. And that's good. You know, that's good to see. I like seeing stuff like that. Another topic on this whole thing is we get Train's thought on this, and this is something that. You know, we do repeat topics we hear out there in radio land and TV land, but some we come up with on our own. This one I came up with just thinking about the Ravens and what I saw last night, thinking about Denver and what I saw, and looking at the no-huddle offense and looking at the impact that it's having now. And I'm thinking about how the Wildcat back in 08 became the hot new thing that people weren't ready for, and the productivity at the Wildcat. Now we're here with the no huddle. and how productive that those two teams were with it. And you guys, Train and K-Star, remember the old Madden glitch where you could run a no-huddle offense and the offense didn't get tired, but the defense got tired until they actually patched it. But
Formation shift glitch. Yep.
Right. Well, you know what? How much of a glitch is it? Because if you watched either of these games, you could see that the no huddle was having an impact on the defense. Not just lining up, but they were getting tired. Standing there with their hands on their hips and trying to breathe, you know. So let me start with Train first. Is this a trend that we're gonna see more of? Is this something that is the NFL gonna become a no huddle league, you think? Is this a fad, or is it just gonna be just another tool in the toolbox?
I honestly think it's just strategy, to be honest. I did listen to who I was watching, but I know Jason Taylor, who did play defense, you know what I'm saying, his whole career. He spoke about the effect of the no huddle on the defense, and the way he explained it was simply that, you know, you have time for substitutions. If they substitute, you can substitute. Really what it comes down is whether they can execute the play, no matter whether they go no huddle or not. Yeah, it changes the tempo of the game, but it's something that the defense can practice, that the defense can prepare for in practice. You know, so really, I think it's just an advantage for the offense to change the tempo of the game. You know, and try to keep it fast paced, but try to keep the defense on the heels at the same time. I don't think you'll see every team switching to no huddle, but every so often, no huddle just shouldn't be saved to the last 2 minutes of the second quarter and the end of the game. It can be thrown at any time to throw off the defense. So I really see it more as a tactic than a trend. And it's not so much at the end of the day, you still have to execute the play that you call in that no huddle. And teams study film, teams recognize formations, they recognize, they know who are the go-to people on the offense, so they should know who to cover. I mean, it's still a chess match, you know what I'm saying? It's just a faster-paced chess match, in my opinion.
Okay, Star, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think what it is, on top of being technical, strategy in football, also real quick, it started with the Buffalo Bills. No huddle offense led them to 4 straight Super Bowls, no wins, however. So it's been around. I think the reason why it was so successful week one, not that it isn't successful before, but so successful week one is because of the conditioning. I feel like, we obviously saw the defenses get tired. I also think because not everyone's quite conditioned as well as they will be throughout the season. So I think some teams might be more susceptible giving up bigger plays against no-huddle offense because their defenses aren't quite prepared for it yet with it being week one. I mean, last year, let's be honest, it looked like the offense was way ahead of the defense, so go out for the defense to catch up, right? Maybe the same concept here in which the defense is, unfortunately, for them, better get in shape because there's no huddles going across the NFL. It's not just in Denver. So I think it's a little mixture of both, tactical stuff. That's been around since the Buffalo Bills, 4 Super Bowl appearances, and moreover.
But you say that, and while that's true, it has not been around. I mean, the shotgun formation has been around since the 60s, but it hasn't been implemented like we've seen. I mean, the Cowboys were ahead of the curve back in the 70s using it, and it was called the spread with Roger Staubach, and no other team was using it back then. So, yes, you can certainly go back and find teams using it. But, I mean, the Ravens came out and said, this is what we're going to do, okay? And we've seen Peyton Manning run pretty much a no-huddle offense in Indy for years, but no one made it a part of their complete game plan while Peyton was doing it because it was kind of like, well, that's what Peyton does, and he's adjusting the audibles and all of that, and that's what made him great. But now we're seeing the Ravens.
Need more of it.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying is it's becoming more – not just like Train said, the last 2 minutes of the game, but they're coming out and saying, okay, we want to catch you off guard. We want to keep you moving. So we are rehearsing. And what I think is going to happen is until defenses practice more against it, it's going to continue. It's just like the Wildcat, right? When Wildcat first came out, but when it became popular, where did it become popular in 08? When they had Ronnie Brown and the pot smoker there, Ricky Williams,
Ricky
right?
Williams.
You know, right? And Miami was running it, and it was successful because no one defended it. No one scouted it. They didn't know when it was coming. But then what happened? People started catching film on it. They started understanding how to defend it. And it became less effective. Now it's used situationally. I think we're going to see that with this, too. I think we're going to see more of it until the defenses wake up and realize, oh, this is coming more and more. And then they got to film it. They got a game plan for it. And then once they start shutting it down, then we'll see it revert back to situationally. That's kind of what I'm thinking. But I was very intrigued by the Ravens. Let me segue right into those Ravens. And while we have K-Star talking, and that's your division, K-Star, and I know you're not a Ravens fan, but what did you think? And I'm asking you to take your Steeler hat off just for a second, and the Ravens really put it to those Bengals. What did you think?
That was a mixture of the Ravens exceptionally prepared and well and very effective on offense. They were, you know, a team that were running the no huddle that you were kind of alluding to last night. They're running it quite well. They look like they've added a playmaker in James Jones, the receiver position, because for a while the strategy against the Ravens was play man-to-man coverage on the receivers. Back when they had Derek Mason and didn't really know one else to stretch the field. Now they have Torrey Smith, another guy, James Jones, to win these matches for him. So I think they've definitely improved. They have two talented tight ends, so I think we'll get better, which I'm not really happy saying all this, but it's just, again, observations and trying to do my job here as well. But I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that Cincinnati is now ready to dance with a team like Baltimore. They, you know, again, like I said, it's a litter full of puppies going against some raging pit bulls, you know, and that's what happens when a puppy gets a pit bull. You know, they get tore up, and that's what happened. You know, the Ravens, they look to be a Super Bowl contender. You know, I still have doubts that they can continue to sustain consistency, because last year the Ravens' issue was, you know, consistent performance like this. They would blow a team out. Oh, yeah. But then they would throw a stinker right up the next week in Tennessee or, you know, against San Diego, you know, a few other teams last year, Seattle, Arizona. So, again, the biggest thing the Ravens is consistency. Flacco looked great last night, but we've seen Flacco have some great games before as well. So, tell me skeptical.
All right. Yeah. I thought maybe you could leave your Steeler hat off for a while, but not really. Because first of all, I don't care about last season. Okay, I could care less about last. This isn't last season. Okay, it's this season. And anyone that walked away with any negative thoughts about what happened last week is either biased or wasn't watching the game, because the Ravens looked incredible last night on offense and on defense. And let me just say this. Those of you who questioned me saying whose defense that is in Baltimore, Terrell Suggs isn't there. I know Terrell Suggs is a man-child. I am not in any way going to disrespect the 2011 NFL Defensive Player of the Year. I know he is incredible, okay? And I know that a defense without him is not going to be the same. But my point was, they still have Ray Lewis, okay? And Ray Lewis today means more to that defense than Terrell Suggs. 14 tackles, a forced fumble. What was the other stat he had? I missed it. But 14 tackles, a forced fumble, and a sack last night. Okay? I mean, that's 37 years old? Are you kidding me? And good. And you know what? Ed Reed, whoo! You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. And I know K-Star's not going to give no love because he's a Steeler fan. So we're going to switch over to Train. Train, I know you watched again. What did you walk away thinking of the Ravens, man? Must have.
I should have jumped on that wacko for Flacco train last week like I started to.
Yes,
that's
sir.
What I should have did, because I am wacko for Flacco. Look, man, I understand you are a Steelers fan. You will be part biased, but, bruh, y'all going to have hell come the Ravens. I'm sorry. That offense is not – it's not even the same offense from last season. It's a lot more potent now. They got two tight ends they throwing to. This guy Peter comes out of nowhere. I mean, you got Torrey Smith. You got Quan Bolden. You still got Ray Rice running that thing, man. Like, I just got signed new money. Let me go ahead out here and make my paycheck. And Flacco continues to build his own confidence. I am an elite quarterback in this league. He goes out and he plays like it. And, yeah, the Bengals are not a bad team. They were a playoff team last season. They were thought to come in and really, you know what I'm saying, try to make a push this season. And they pounded the Bengals. They made Andy Dalton look like this was not his second season. They made him look like he was a rookie.
He looked
a mess.
They
worked him over.
Yeah, he looked a mess, man. Oh, my God.
All night.
Ugh.
I mean, it was like, I mean, dude, the Ravens are slated this season to go all the way. If they don't, it'll be their own fault, with or without Terrell Suggs. They can do it. I'm sorry. They look very polished. Very polished.
I have to say that as of right now, if you watched all of the games, all of them, you looked at all the AFC teams with what we know, okay, I'd have to say that they look like the class of the AFC right now. I know it's early. I know there's 15 weeks to go. So I'm not picking them to do anything. That's why, see, guys, we heard the Madden voice. We didn't do Super Bowl picks. You know why? Because people are going to change their picks 8 times throughout the year. So I'm not going to say. We did do, you know, who's going to win the division. And that's fun. But I don't want to hear who you think is going to win the Super Bowl after the preseason. I don't want to hear who's going to win the Super Bowl after week one. Because people are going to change their mind 8 times throughout the year. But all I'm saying is the Ravens looked as good as any team, if not better, in the AFC after last night. If I'm a Steeler fan or if I'm a Patriot fan or even a Broncos who look pretty good, wow. I mean, with what that team did, it definitely caught your attention. They did this to a division rival.
But they did this last year. You guys are forgetting. They did this last year to my football. Like, I saw it firsthand. They destroyed us week one last year, obliterated us, atomic bombed us. But the problem with the Ravens was the consistency. So I understand you guys are going crazy now.
I'm not going crazy. Just giving them respect.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, we have to see consistency in that football team. We saw they did this last year. I'm just saying, they opened the season against a tougher team than the Steelers. Their arch rival, who's owned them, they destroyed us. So now last night they destroyed the Bengals. Now everyone's trying to say there's some big quantum difference. Like, I just don't buy it. You got to see consistency first.
If you want to bring up last season, you do realize their whole season came down to one play season. Their whole season came down to a receiver that all he had to do was, once he caught that ball, cuff it and go down, and it was touchdown. Ravens win. They go to the Super Bowl. That's all he had to do. That's all they had to do, and the Ravens were in the Super Bowl. If you really want to take last season, that's how far the Ravens were from being in the Super Bowl. A receiver who had caught the ball and let a defender knock it out of his hand because the rules of the NFL says you have to complete the catch.
Got
to
make a football move. Right.
You have to make a football for it to catch.
Right. Right.
That's how, if you want to bring up last season so bad, you look at that, and the Ravens were one catch away from being in the Super Bowl.
But they didn't make that catch.
You think they can't make
But they didn't make the catch. You know, Lee Evans didn't make the catch. They didn't make the kick. That's the right.
He made the catch. He made the catch, and the defender knocked out his hand. If you see that play in slow motion, he made
the defender knocked out his hand.
Before he could finish his football move.
And I think what the point the train is making is, no one's jumping on a new bandwagon. This is a team that was that close to getting to the Super Bowl last year. So it's not like they went, played their first game to Denver and lost and went home. They actually was that close to going to the Super Bowl. So it's not a bandwagon thing. It's they're ready to do the same thing this year, except this year they might very well finish the job. That's all we're saying. And you're right. Yes, they swept you guys last year, but they also went to the conference trip and almost pulled it off. So, I mean, they are a team to be reckoned with. You know, it's, there's no doubt about it. Let me also give a shout-out to my man D. My man D. Mac is in the house. He's in the chat room. Old friend of mine. He's also in the MBX Afro Remix Fantasy Football League that we're both in. And I just want to shout him out because I see him in the chat room. He likes to, you know, he's like one of those guys. He's one of the brother that, you know, on the DL. He just slides in. He don't say nothing. He don't even type anything. He don't say what up to you, nothing in the chat room. But I see him in there. So I'm just giving him some love because he's my boy. And, just saying, what up? So appreciate the love and the respect. This guy's been supporting the show. On a QT, but he supports the show. Appreciate that, D. But anyway, let's move on to move on to my favorite subject, okay? Let's move on to something that I get to talk about now. See, you know, I waited. I didn't start off the show talking about the Cowboys. And I know people have almost forgotten about it because the game was like a week ago. It was last Wednesday night. You know, it was 6 days ago, and people have almost forgotten about it. We had a lot of great football since then. But we have to talk about the Cowboys simply because nobody picked them to go into New York and beat the Giants. But I you know, I don't want to rehash the game. You know, I really don't, because you guys, you know, everybody saw the game and everybody knows what happened. But I want to ask a question. And it was a question that I created because I want to know what you guys think. And I'm going to start with Train. Cowboys go into New York and they beat a team that beat them twice last year and went on to win a Super Bowl, and they beat them in New York opening night while they're hanging their Super Bowl banner and all that good stuff. The Skins go into New Orleans with a rookie quarterback, granted, number two pick, but he's still a rookie. You know, 5-11 finish last year, and they beat the vaunted juggernaut Saints in New Orleans. Which victory, in your opinion, is more impressive?
Okay, as I answer this question, understand this is my reason for picking who I pick. I know that when we did our picks last week, they had a big percentage of, you know, as far as New York over the Giants. But I really felt that they were very close, evenly matched teams, because they're rivals. The same division that always battled out every season. New York just managed to edge them out last season twice. So my thoughts going in that game, I picked New York. But I'm thinking just because New York is at home, they got the emotion. You know, they'll be able to edge out the win, but no, that was not the case. But if you take the more impressive, I'm really going to have to go with the Redskins over New Orleans, because I did not think that would happen, even without Sean Payton, even with all the turmoil, I still thought that the Saints would definitely have enough offense, enough defensive players to get in there and do the job. The Cowboys win over the Giants was definitely impressive. As a matter of fact, the piece that was missing showed up, and that was the defense. The defense showed up. The defense showed up and locked it in for the Cowboys. They got off to a rocky start, but they were, you know, offense got off to a rocky start, but they were able to finish strong. But the defense showed up for the Cowboys and helped them seal that win. But still, I think a rookie quarterback going down in New Orleans in their house, in the Superdome, getting the win, I got to take that.
Okay. K-Star, what do you think?
I thought the Dallas game was way more impressive, and here's why. Actually, it said to you guys that there's a potential sleeper upset in the Redskins over the Saints when we're, you know, combing through possible, you know, upsets or whatever. And the reason why I thought that was simply because the element of surprise. RG3 never played a game in the NFL yet. We didn't know how Shanahan and what the system really was going to be. You know, they had a great, great scheme, almost like a Madden scheme of it, where they ran pistol to begin the game. You know, the defense kept playing the cover three. They kept hitting the slot receiver, some quick little flat passes, basically, until the Saints adjusted, which they didn't do until the second drive. And, you know, again, the game plan in which Washington came out, the element surprise is really what propelled them over the Saints, along with the great quarterback play of RG3. But, again, these are division rivals. This is the Cowboys and the Giants. They know what to expect from one another. They know the personnel groupings. You know, they know what each team wants, what each team is trying to do. But the Cowboys destroyed them. And I picked the Giants to win, but as you guys remember, I also picked the Cowboys to win the division. So all that did for me was kind of reaffirm that belief and actually say that they're ready to do it and they're ready to start now. Because, again, the Cowboys, they beat them on offense, they beat them on defense, they dominated them. The man coverage, blitz schemes was too much. DeMarcus Square got hit, how many times in that football game. You know, Brandon Carr was completely draping. Hakeem Nicks was more Claiborne. It was just better. You know, again, Kevin Oketree appears out of nowhere. The Cowboys come up with all these weapons, and they just look like a rolling machine that finally have a defense with cornerbacks, which, again, we talked about last week. They could finally do what Rob Ryan wants to do on that defense. So, again, the more impressive game to me was the Cowboys, because at the end of the day, they went to the defending Super Bowl champions home and beat them opening out, which has never been done before. Never. So, Dallas, easily.
Well, I respect both answers because I think you both make good points. Okay, I think both games were upsets, and no one thought that Cowboys would win that game. When I say no one, I mean almost no one. And the same, I think no one thought that the Redskins would have a chance. But let me remind you of a few things in the Redskins-Saint game. No Sean Payton, brand new defensive coordinator. No Jonathan Vilma, even though they were cleared, he got cleared to play. He's got a knee injury, and he's a defensive leader on that team. RG3 is a number two pick and a Heisman Trophy winner. People, I don't get me wrong. He played phenomenal. But isn't he supposed to? We've been spoiled by the fact that we've had the Matt Leinarts and the Vince Youngs and some of these other guys come in and struggle. And then when someone comes in and does exactly what the pedigree suggests that they should be able to do, Cam Newton did it last year, right? This guy comes in and does it this year. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I'm a Cowboy fan, but if you guys saw my tweets during the game, I was giving RG3 crazy credit because he was playing at that level. So I'm not at all diminishing the level that he played at, but I'm also saying we kind of knew that that's why Redskins gave up the farm to go get him, because they wanted their franchise quarterback, okay? And I'm glad that he played at that level, because now it'll shut down what I think was a backup plan to have Cousins go in there and take him out. And now you can forget that. Cousins, you forget about it. Unless RG3 gets hurt, you ain't playing, so you can forget about it. So I think that the Cowboy victory was a little bit, not substantially greater, but bigger, simply because the Giants have simply had the Cowboys' number. They won 5 out of 6, 7 out of 9. They swept them last year. It was at home. They just won the Super Bowl. I just think that when you looked at both of those games, nobody gave – the only person I heard picking Dallas that had no ties to Dallas was Eric Mangini. Everybody else I watched picked the Giants. And not only did they pick the Giants, because they knew the Cowboys' offensive line had problems, they said this one could get out of hand because the Cowboys haven't even played their 5 starters together, 1 down in the preseason. This could get ugly. They're not going to be able to protect Romo. Well, not only did they protect Romo, they lost their starting center 3rd snap of the game. Phil Costa went out with back spasms. They brought in Ryan Cook, who they signed 6 days prior from Miami. Ryan Cook, 6 days, 3 practices, and from the 4th snap on, and need I say, he was their 3rd string, okay? Probably had never snapped the ball at Romo before. Probably walked into the huddle and said, "Hi, I'm Ryan Cook, and I'm your new center." And Tony said, "Hey, good to meet you." Uh-oh. And I won't even get into all the other things we saw in the game. I just think that Cowboy win, considering the rivalry and the fact that they do play each other twice a year and the fact that they were still able to go in and out-defense them, which is the Giants' whole trademark, and Tony outplayed Eli, I just think was a little bit more impressive. But I will not at all disrespect RG3 and those Redskins as much as I want to. As much as I want to be K-Star the Homer and say the Redskins, it was a fluke and they're going to tank, I don't feel that way. I feel like, uh-oh, which leads me to my next question. My next question is this. I'm going to go with K-Star on this question. And I don't even know if I put this on the agenda, but I should have. If I didn't, then, hey, use your football knowledge and answer this. K-Star, before the season started, most people looked at the Eagles and the Giants as the class of that division. Most people thought the Giants had a chance to win the division again, but watch out for the Eagles, and they won 4 straight last year, and, you know, look out. There weren't a lot of people picking the Cowboys, and there was almost nobody picking the Redskins. And now, after 1 week, it looks like the Cowboys are something to take seriously, and the Skins may be something to take seriously. We saw the Eagles struggle mightily in Cleveland, of all places, and, of course, the Giants lost. Is this the beginning of maybe a changing of the guard in the NFC East, or is this going to be just a fight to the finish?
Wow. Well, I believe Dallas is the best in the division, the most balanced team, both sides of the ball. I don't think they're just going to walk away with the division. I still believe, you know, the Giants are going to fight, you know, fight back and make a run like they seemingly always do. I believe that the Eagles will get together, although I don't believe they will be as good as advertised because Mike Vick, whom I love, is playing some really trash football right now, and his injury is also a concern, which doesn't help. But you know, if the Cowboys get to a hot start at the beginning of the season, and, you know, these other teams kind of struggle out the gate because the Giants have a very tough schedule, and the Eagles actually play Baltimore this weekend, then, I mean, hey, the Cowboys could take off. I don't think that's going to be the case only because I believe these other teams in NFC East are pretty good football teams. But changing the guard, yeah. Because at the end of the day, the Cowboys still have some young football players. I know people were saying that, you know, that the window's closing, as Jason Wentz said, but I don't see it. You know, Romo still is pretty damn athletic. He's still young. Miles Austin, Dez Bryant, you know, DeMarco Murray, Mo Claiborne, Brandon Carr, you know, Marcus Ware is an old, you know, they have a bunch of young talent around that team. So I do believe that the Cowboys will kind of take charge of the division and probably for a while just because they finally seem to have to get it all together. I know it's not 1 week. I know it's only week one of the season. So some people are saying, you know, don't get carried away. But I'm simply saying from an X and O standpoint, from an execution standpoint, their offense is good. It's been for a while now. They finally seem to have it all together. And the other teams kind of still have some issues of their own.
Train, any thoughts?
I would say if you're a Cowboys fan, you're a Redskins fan, you have to be excited. But I still say that division will still be a dogfight. History shows that the division just tends to be a dogfight no matter how it starts because those teams tend to go up and down. But still, with that said, Dallas still was like the most balanced team in that division. And, you know, even though the Eagles struggled, they did come out with a win. So they struggled with a win. So they still have time to correct themselves. And I think that was my pick for the division. Hopefully, you know, Michael Vick get his head out of his ass. I mean, the Eagles can be an explosive team offensively like they have been in the past. But I still think that division will still come down to a dog fight. And on top of being a dog fight, now y'all got a new dog in the fight. Y'all got the Redskins in the fight now. Y'all got a new dog, so really,
finally,
it's gonna be exciting to watch. You know, it goes back to my philosophy back in the off season. Four quarterbacks: Eli, Romo, Dick. Now RG3. It's gonna be exciting. Right? I'm not missing the game. Not one.
So let me ask you this, Train. Philly did pull out a late win against Cleveland. Is it time for Philly to panic? And the reason I ask, Vic threw the ball 56 times. He only completed 24 four interceptions. LeSean McCoy only ran for 50 yards. You know, Cleveland, by all accounts, is not a very good team. And the Eagles barely squeaked out. They got the Ravens coming to town. And certainly we'll talk about that game when we make our picks. But the Eagles could very easily be looking at 0-2. Should there be some concern in Philly right now?
Concern, maybe, not panic. What you saw is correctable. Vic will be playing the next week. You know what I'm saying? No one on offense is injured. You know, what you saw is very correctable. You know what I'm saying? And it may come down to coaching when you look at that game. And it may just come down to coaching. You know, let's put it in LeSean McCoy's hands more. Or Vic may need to understand, all right, you said when you came back for your second stint in this league that you became a better quarterback, that you started being able to lead defense as well. He needs to play like it. Because I'm seeing him make throws downfield when LeSean McCoy is sitting there wide open underneath. I mean, why do that? This man is already 60% of your offense. Keep feeding the ball. This dude is explosive in open field every time he gets the ball in his hand. Why are you trying to force the ball downfield and making all these interceptions? And on top of that, you want to use your own legs to create plays. Vic is not playing like the Vic that we know. He's playing like, I don't even know. I don't know what you call it. So, no, not panic, because everything that you saw in the Cleveland game is correctable. Whether it comes down to Vic waking up or the coaches realizing, okay, we need to get a control of what we're trying to do here.
K K-Star?
I kind of agree. I've got to echo his sentiments. I mean, I got to correct you real quick, T. LeSean McCoy had 20 carries for 115 yards. It's not that he was unproductive, but the fact that they had to throw the ball 56 times to only net 17 points is kind of horrific considering all the turnovers, all the bad, sloppy play on the offensive end. Saying that the defense played great, you know, obviously a lot of that had to do with Brandon Whedon being making his first start or whatever, having the worst quarterback performance of all time as a rookie debut. But, you know, the thing is with Philly, I feel like sometimes their coaching staff on offense tends to panic, and that's why we see the 56 pass attempts. That's why we see Mike Vick pressing. It's not that Andy Reid isn't a good coach, but I feel like far too often he himself has that mentality where they just abandoned the game plan and just throw. I mean, the game was close the whole game. I mean, there wasn't a point in which Cleveland got up by a whole bunch. They only took the lead once, and that was when Vic threw that god-awful pick six. I don't know what the hell he was throwing to or who the hell he was throwing to on that play, by the way. But, you know, again, they didn't need to feed the feature of LeSean McCoy more. That's the best playmaker on offense that they have. That's the best player in the football team right now. And, you know, I just think that Mike Vic right now is pressing, and I feel like Andy Reid might also be pressing. You know, we've seen him make these dubious decisions as to the ratio of pass or run being so, God, just not even close to matching at all. But, again, you know, Vic labeled as a potential dynasty in Philadelphia, but honestly, again,
I was going to say, the ratio of pass to run in Philly has always been that way. It's always been lopsided to me.
Yeah, but as you see, how often do we ask this question, though? Should Philly fans be panicking? I feel like this happens every year because there's also a lot of games where they have these sloppy performances and they have this sloppy ratio. It keeps happening.
And he threw for a career high 56 attempts. Let me just say this. I'm gonna disagree with both of you. Okay, it's time to panic. You started off last season 4-8, and you saw what that did for you. Okay, and you managed to win the last four games and make yourself relevant again. You come into the first game of the season with all that talk in the off season, and you lay an egg. Yeah. Now you won. You won, but you played like garbage. And if you were playing any of the other teams in the NFC East, you would have got your butts kicked. The Redskins, Cowboys, and Giants would have whooped you based on what you put on that field against the Browns. So, yeah, it's time to panic. Somebody in Philly needs to be held accountable. Andy Reid, listen, you lost your son in the offseason, okay? And nobody wants to be unfair to you. But that said, this is 14 years now. What did we say? No excuses? I mean, you've got the talent, and you've shown it in flashes, and then this team goes in and plays like that collectively? Plays like against the Browns? Yeah, someone there needs to panic. Someone there needs to ring, you know, 7-alarm fire. You know, a lost in space for all you old heads out there like me. Warning, 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 Will Robinson. This is pathetic. You can't play that way week after week. And if they play that way, even at home against the Ravens, they're going to get their butts kicked next week if they play like that. So, yeah, they need to wake up or they're going to be looking at 0-2. And, you know, you got a Redskin team that won. You got a Cowboy team that won. You got a Giant team that I can assure you are pretty pissed off after losing to the Cowboys. So you could find yourself on the bottom of that division in 0-2 after 2 weeks into the season. And I don't have the numbers handy right now, but if they lose, I guarantee you it'll be all over all of ESPN and Fox Sports and NBC, the statistics of how many teams start 0-2 and win the Super Bowl, and it's a very small number. So, no, right now they need to wake up. They need to wake up now, right now. What did K-Star would know this. Top used to say at the Madden tournaments, you need to get over here, not now, but right now.
Right now.
You know what I'm saying? So they need to wake up, not now, but right now.
Right now.
They really do. And I say this as a football fan, not as a Cowboy fan. As a Cowboy fan, keep playing the way you are. Keep doing what you're doing. I love it. Don't show up. You know, don't be relevant as a Cowboy fan. But as a football fan, you guys, yeah, you're in trouble right now. If any team in the NFL right now, after 1 week, is in trouble, it's the Eagles. Okay? That's all I got to say about that. What you guys think about the suspensions being lifted? RG3 comes out, makes a statement, okay? I'm not going to ask the question. I'm going to answer the question. Yeah, he made a statement, okay? He's tired of hearing about Andrew Luck. He's tired of hearing about Kirk Cousins. He ran out there and made a statement. He says, I am RG3, and that's it. But with that said, the Saints find out on Friday that their players are eligible to play this weekend. And there's still a lot going on in that, and once that's fleshed out, we'll talk more about it. But all really, the main question, K-Star, is if you're the Redskins, and you find out 2 days before a game that these four players are not eligible to play again. Now they all didn't play, but is that fair? Is that fair? You're about to get on a plane now and go to New Orleans, and you find out that wait a minute, these guys can play. Do you think that's fair?
No, not at all. Like, how are you going to have a suspension that seems to be, like, you know, they're for sure not going to play. They've done this all, you know, in the OTAs and training camp. That's what they game plan for those guys not being there. And then it's like, oh, hey, by the way, we might just pop in and play real quick. Like, that's beyond gamesmanship. Like, that's cheating. That's like, I mean, could you imagine that actually happening to an NFL team in which, like, a player or a coach would make that decision? Like, oh, you know, he splits his out. You know, for the week, but miraculously, you know, a couple of days before, oh, wait, well, you know, we changed the injury report, he's probably can play. You can't do that. If you let someone out, they're out. And in the case of the NFL, this was a rare situation, but nonetheless, it really wasn't fair to Washington. What if the Jets have played? It made a very, you know, a big impact on the game. You know, when these guys already made the game plan, when they've already, you know, traveled to New Orleans and hear that, oh, by the way, these guys are going to play, like, what is that? That's like me going to a Madden tournament and playing the crew and finding out last second that the crew I'm about to play against is Big Gene Problem and, I don't know, a secret, you know, like out of nowhere. And for all those Madden hands out there, you get that reference. Just, again, like a power, like you have to play someone in which you didn't expect to play. It's not really fair, especially, again, when you game plan and do all these things for it to happen that way. I'm glad they didn't play because the NFL could have had a serious problem. Not that they don't already with the Saints, but that could have been a serious issue of foul play on the NFL's behalf.
Tran, any thoughts?
Listen, man, if you're going to be upset at them activating those players to play, lifting the suspension for whatever legal reason they lift the suspension, fine. I really can care less. But if you're going to be upset at that, then you might as well be upset at game time decision. Because that's exactly what it sounded like to me. And it's basically a little less equivalent to game time decision on whether this player plays or not. So I don't care either less. You prepare to win the game, period. I mean, whoever played, yeah, you probably didn't fully prepare because you thought those players wasn't going to be there. But it's not like you can't adjust. That's what teams, NFL teams have to be able to adjust on the fly. They have to be able to adjust when it comes to players being decided whether they're going to play at game time, because it's always it's not uncommon to see players listed as game time decision, so you have
but
to
But this isn't check this isn't this isn't this is not an injury. This is a suspension. This isn't
I don't really care about the whole
but you're ignoring the facts. It's not about whether you
what
care
is the fact?
We don't deal with this is not a common occurrence, Train. Injuries are part of the game, and there are
points
to how you list players so that you can prepare so whether or not that player is going to be on the field or not. There are rules around that, and certainly teams stretch it, but there are rules, okay? This was not within the rules of the NFL. This was the court saying, oops, we've looked at this, and we've decided there's reason to hold off on suspending these players. We need more information, so we're gonna go ahead and lift the suspension. This was handled. This wasn't Goodell. This wasn't the team. This was handled outside. You can't say
okay.
Oh, okay. You just have to adjust.
Okay, but once the suspension is lifted, they're NFL players again. So regardless of what the court decides, now they're NFL players again. Yeah, it sucks that it's 2 days before, but still. I mean, to me, it's almost like a separate entity from the NFL granted them access. So now they have access. So now they're back to the NFL rules. So it's up to the team to decide whether they should play or not. They
yeah,
haven't even been
though.
To practice.
Here's the thing, though. Yeah. What you're saying about the injury report, it means there's a chance they'll play, right? Doubtful, questionable, probable. That means they still have a chance to play, correct?
Uh-huh.
So in this situation, we're calling it suspension. That means they're not coming back until maybe week five, maybe 2013. That's completely different because you're ruling out all possibilities that they'll play in that football game. All. Zero. No chance. None. Like, it's completely different because the fact of the matter is, you're right. While there's game time decisions, the NFL teams have backup plans. Oh, yeah. They do in that game plan when they come up with a game plan against whoever they play. They might prepare that Marshawn Lynch with back spasms. He's probably going to play because of Marshawn Lynch. You know, Jonathan Vilma's questionable. Maybe the coach has a history of gamesmanship, and he's probably going to play. But in this situation, they didn't have any of that. They just knew these guys weren't going to play because they hold both the rules and are suspended. Completely different.
Yeah, I mean, and I think K-Star makes my point is this wasn't the NFL lifting the suspension, okay? This wasn't the coaching staff saying you can go ahead and play because we think you're healthy. Those are part. This was the court outside. The court didn't care is my point. They don't care that there's a game 2 days later. To me, it was irresponsible because they're not connected to the fact that teams have to plan for each other. So I'm on a coaching staff. This guy's suspended. He's not in the game plan now. I'm not planning to defend him. I'm not planning to cover him because he's not in the game plan. So now a third party has no connection to the NFL. This panel decides, guess what? We're going to go ahead and overturn 2 days before the game's supposed to be played. I think it's ridiculous. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair. It was fair to the Redskins, to be honest with you. I mean, they still won the game.
To me, that's something that the NFL, and that's a policy that the NFL should have in place to handle that. If this been the case, I understand that this is a rare occasion, but not everything that happens in the NFL is coming. There are some pretty rare occasions. I understand this is a rare occasion, but maybe they should have a policy in place to handle players who may have suspensions lifted just 2 days before the game. But from the same standpoint, it would probably be bad for them to play those players because they wasn't in training camp. They're not even football ready.
But that's now you're getting into football decisions and you deal with football decisions on a football field. I agree with that. But what I'm saying is Goodell, who this to me goes full circle back to Roger Goodell because he's the one that did the suspensions. Okay? And for him to do the suspensions and for there to be a chance that those suspensions could be lifted, even if it's just for a week or two, and the way this falls out to me puts egg on his face. Because, yes, I don't know if any of those players played. I really don't know that they did. I know Vilma didn't play. I'm not sure if the other three did or didn't, but I know Vilma was on the sideline because they showed him the whole game. But the fact is, Vilma didn't play because he had a knee injury. So what if Vilma had been healthy? I mean, that would have had an impact on the game, and it's not the Redskins' fault. That's my point is they didn't deserve to be in that predicament 2 days before the game. And to me, Roger Goodell, the man that yields the mighty sword, I mean, you can't make decisions that could turn out later to be overturned and put teams in compromising positions. That's why I even asked the question in the first place. I didn't like it. I didn't think it was fair. And fortunately, you know, the Redskins won, so it becomes a moot point. But, man, if it had been one of those games that came down to a play here and there, who knows? Who knows if that wouldn't be the top issue Monday morning? Let's segue into the Colts and the Bears. I really didn't feel a need to talk about that game because the Bears went and did their thing. But I did want to know what Train thought of Andrew Luck. This is the guy who the Colts drafted number one pick, let Peyton Manning go. We now see that Peyton Manning is looking pretty doggone good. And, you know, Train, what did you see from Luck? And do you think this guy is going to turn into something? Or are the Colts going to be regretting the fact that they didn't hold on to Peyton Manning?
They won't regret the loss of Peyton Manning. They truly won't. Now, Andrew Luck has to take his loss. I think I watched ESPN first take, and Eric Mangini broke down some of his plays. Andrew Luck made correct reads. He just didn't make the best pass that he could possibly. He just didn't make the best pass on some of those reads.
Yeah, but hold on. Let me interrupt you. Yeah. I saw that too. I want to know what you as an. Here's what we do, right? We talk about it. We're fans, right? I want you as when you saw the game. What did you?
Yeah, I'm about to tell you.
Oh, okay. Well, you referred to Mangini. That's the next day.
I just referred to. not just his person, but I thought it was interesting that he broke it out. I also agreed with Skip when he finally came back and sat down that he worked for the Colts, because I'm like, okay, dude, you know, whatever. But I just used that, you know, on top of exactly what I saw. We were at the Andrew look all day long. And that was sometimes like, we got him. This dude moves around the pocket the same way Aaron Rodgers moves around the pocket, the same way Tom Brady moves around the pocket, just enough to avoid the sack to get rid of the ball. He was still able to put together two drives with Chicago coming down his throat. Everything. He never really had a chance to sit back there comfortably and throw. He moved around the pocket, stealth in the pocket, making so he still kept his poise the entire game, even though they were coming at him. We forced three interceptions and a fumble, and yet the guy was still coming back. I mean, to me, he just got to take his lumps, because he can make the throws, he can make the decisions, but he played against a good defense. A defense that just had a very good day on him. But hey, when it came time for him to make some plays, dude made some plays on our defense. I was just like, damn, we didn't get him. Damn, I mean, it would be just a sliver. He'd make the move in the pocket, get rid of the ball. Make the move in the pocket, get rid of the ball. And he kept coming back. Did not get rattled. Looked way more polished than Andy Dalton.
I think
after, you know, I really don't see the Colts finishing last in that division. Just from what I saw against Chicago, I don't think they'll finish last. I definitely think they'll beat out Tennessee at least, maybe even Jaguars.
K-Star, did you? I know Indianapolis is your home territory. Did you actually watch this game or not?
Yeah, I watched bits and pieces of it. I get kind of echo again what Trey was saying about luck. You know, he has great pocket presence. He's able to move around the pocket, avoid some sacks here and there. The only problem is that offensive line's really bad. You know, here's a guy at right guard who went to high school with me, and Joe Rice playing. He's not an NFL starter. Like, I'm not trying to hate on the man. Like, you know, I'm proud of, you know, my HSC alum and everything, but come on, like, that's Joe Rice. Like, my boy, like, what are we doing here? Like, seriously, though, like, the Colts right now are just overmatched. Like, personnel-wise, they can't really compete at a high level, you know, against good football teams. They can beat, you know, average football teams. They'll beat bad teams. But against a team that just has better personnel grouping than them, that can apply pressure like the Bears can at the front four, they have no chance with that god-awful offensive line and limited weapons right now for Andrew Luck. I still maintain that they'll finish between 6-10 to 8-8. But I kind of think we all expected the Bears to give Andrew Luck a lot of lumps because of that pass rush and just it being his first NFL game in general.
One other thing popped up. I didn't put it on the list to talk about, but I caught it late today, and I wanted to get Train's comment on it. So your quarterback, Jay Cutler, released a public service announcement, and I'm going to read the public service announcement that he listed, that he released. And it says, please, 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 let's tone it down a little bit when we're down in the 20. You're more than welcome to yell and scream and do whatever you want to do after we score, but please, let's go ahead and quiet the stadium down and save it for after we score. Thank you. That's my PSA. And there was a play, they showed where he went to the line, and you guys were inside the five, and he had to call a timeout, and he made a kind of the quiet down symbol as he walked to the sideline, you know, with both arms swinging down. Train, do you condone him asking for the home crowd to quiet down as you guys are trying to score?
Look here, man. If I didn't have so much hate for Green Bay and saw that statement by Jared Bush, this probably would have been Train's philosophy. Bears fans need not to be idiots, all right? It's great that now we got some offensive weapons, but Cutler is making a valid point. Shut the hell up, okay? They're inside the 20. They're on one end of the field where the crowd noise just gets louder when you're close to the end zone. You got to be quiet so the offense can get through its read, so it can get through its free snap. You have to be quiet. Else you're not helping your team win, you're helping your team lose. And the funny part about it is I go on Tribune and I read all these articles about it, and yet you still have idiotic fans who got nerve enough to say, oh, they should be able to play up crowd noise. They practice in crowd noise. What are you stupid? Do you really think that that's okay for you to scream at the home stadium while your team is inside the 20 trying to score a touchdown and they cannot communicate with each other because you're screaming too loud and we haven't even done anything yet? The score could be 0-0. What the hell are you screaming for? They haven't even snapped the ball. Shut the hell up and let them get to this pre-snap read so we can finish and we can score. And you can scream your freaking lungs out.
K-Star, how do you feel about this?
All of this tells me our Chicago Bears fans are full of idiots. You guys are morons. Why are you making that noise for down there? Like, seriously, the fact that Jay Cutler has to make a public service announcement to the Bears fan. Guys, stop. I mean, I know Chicago has a history with the pregame stuff, you know, with the tailgate and everything. But please, don't get completely wasted before a game and during the game so much that you're absolutely screaming where Jay Cutler can't make a call at the line or communicate with his own players and have to burn a timeout. He can cost your team a game. Like, let's be real. That's stupid. So, I don't know if the Bear fans are stupid, sorry, Train, or just liquored up or what. It's ridiculous. So, like, come on. Like, that's silly. Like, I couldn't imagine if Peyton Manning his whole career in Indianapolis had to deal with crowd noise in the dome from his own home team fans when he's trying to make the calls. Like, that's insane. I mean, like Train said, I know you guys are excited because you guys finally might have some offense, but Jesus. But the fact that this has to be said is embarrassing. I'll be embarrassed, Train, if I'm you. I'll be embarrassed. Like, we really had to say that to our hometown fans.
I got to tell you, Train, I got to agree with K-Star. I think that to come out and make a statement about it was too much. Do you, when you go to the line, do you do what a lot of quarterbacks will do and ask the crowd to calm down as you're walking to the line, right? And they put their hands up and they say, hey, quiet down a bit. That's fine. That's standard operating procedure, right? We see that all the time. But to then go and public service announcement, you sound like a baby, okay? And they did score, as you know. But, you know, you don't ever come out after a game and tell your fans to shut up, you know, let us score, then scream. I mean, it's just wrong. I mean, what are you going to do when you go to Green Bay and play? What are you going to do when you go to Detroit and play in that dome?
It's that argument, see?
What are you going to do?
You're not in Green Bay.
But my
in Chicago.
So my point, the argument that I can make is that you have to play with crowd noise.
Yes, you do. Yes,
okay,
you have to be able to.
Okay, so that's what you do. You play with, you go with a silent snap. That's what they do, or you figure something out. Okay? You don't go in there and complain that your crowd is too loud. You're going to get that 8 times this year on the road. And if you can't handle it.
I understand you get it 8 times. It's not like the Bears have never had to go against a crowd noise to play. It's not new. But it's simple request. Dude, don't be idiotic. We're at home. Give us a chance to get the ball in the zone. We got to get through our pre-snap reads. If you don't, then there's no point in the Bears having home field advantage. That's the whole point of home field advantage, man. Mm-hmm. I don't see anything wrong with his with what he said. Mm-hmm. I think the whole PSA was a joke because he even smiled after that. I saw that press conference. Mm-hmm. He laughed when he said it. He just said, hey, it's my PSA. Mm-hmm. But he just simply made a request. But to say what are you going to do when you're on the road, it's expected on the road. It's not expected at home, man.
But not at home. The point that you're ignoring here, Train, is that you play in a game that's in a stadium. You're not playing in a booth. There's crowd noise, and you play with the noise. You get used to it. You need to be more focused on executing your offense and not worrying about what the crowd is doing. You're going to have loud crowd.
He's not worried about what the crowd is doing. He is focused on his offense. But every quarterback knows that if you're at home and your crowd noise is low and you're on offense, you have the advantage. You can get to your calls. You can make your audibles. But if you can't and you're at home, it just makes it that much more difficult. So it's not like they even practiced this week with crowd noise in practice. They did that.
And you just said every quarterback knows this. How many quarterbacks come out and say after the game, my home crowd was too loud. I wish they would quiet down when we get inside the 20.
I don't care how many. I don't give a damn how many.
You just said, wait a minute. You can't sit there and make a statement, and then when I challenge
you,
hold on. You just made a statement. I'm not going to sit here and have you ignore the statement that you just made. You just said every quarterback has to play with crowd noise. That's what you said. So my question is, how many come after the game and say to their crowd, quiet down? Have you ever heard that before?
No, in your
That's
point.
That's the point. Because they figure it out. They figure it out. That's the point, is they figure it out. They don't ask their crowd to quiet down. They figure it out. That's what they do. Those guys, I pay money to sit in that station and have a good time and watch the game, and now I got to shut up because you can't figure out how to call and go on a silent count at the five-yard line? Like every other – and he is a talented quarterback. I'm not saying he's not. But like every other quarterback in the NFL does, you ever hear Peyton Manning say that? I mean, come on, man. You a smart guy.
I don't care about what Peyton Manning did. I don't care about what Tom Brady did. I don't care about what Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, all the great quarterbacks did. All he's simply saying is, look, we're at home. Give us that home field advantage by giving us a little less noise inside of 20. I really don't see anything.
I'm not asking you to care. I'm not asking you to care what the other quarterback. My point is that this is not common, and for you to sit there and condone it by saying that all the other quarterbacks have the same challenge, but then ignore that none of the other quarterbacks are making a statement is ridiculous. You can't call out the other quarterbacks, but then when I point out that they're not doing what he's doing, then you say, well, I don't care what they're doing. You brought it up. You referred to all the other quarterbacks. You did that, not me. I just said it was wrong, and you said, well, all the quarterbacks have to deal with this. Wait a minute. They're not all coming out asking their crowd to shut up. Shut up. We're in the five. We're inside the five-yard line.
All quarterbacks have to deal with crowd noise, man. But I'm talking about away from home. I'm not talking about at home. I'm talking about away from home. That's the difference. When you're away, yeah, you have to deal with crowd noise. They practice with crowd noise, even preparing for home because they know we'll get some. But I don't see anything wrong with his statement. Nothing.
I don't know. K-Star, I think you and Train have flipped Homer hats for this one.
Wait, I wear them.
I'm just saying, though, like, you made a point in which, you know, Peyton Manning never yelled at the crowd. Well, that's because he didn't have to. I mean, the fact of the matter is, like, you have to be aware of the situation as a football fan. Like, I know you're having fun and everything. I mean, you can't be going crazy. Like, who likes friendly fire? Why would you try to hurt your own team? Why do you want to be the next bar man? Didn't we have enough of that in Chicago? What's going on here? Like, I'm just saying.
All right, let's go to the phones, grab a quick call. And this is going to have to be a quick call. 615 area code. Welcome to the Madden.
I did it, and I'm not doing it.
So maybe we'll swing back before we go off the air. Appreciate the support. Probably one of Train's fans. 615. He's probably calling to give him the same hard time I just gave him. Before we do our week two picks, K-Star, quickly. I gotta acknowledge Killer 21G is a Bucks fan and he's in the house. So Killer, what up? Gotta give him love. He's been around the Madden Voice in the AFL very, very long time. Appreciate the love, appreciate the support. And but I gotta go to K-Star on this one. K-Star last year had pretty much already given Cam Newton 7 Super Bowls, 4 MVPs, and a Hall of Fame appearance. And said he could, you know, be the greatest player to ever play the game. And, you know, the Panthers lost to the Bucks, and last we knew the Bucks were not a very good team. K-Star, your thoughts on is Cam in a sophomore slump here, or was it just one game?
It's just one game, and actually I gave you this game. This was my episode of the week, Bucks over Panthers. I don't know if you guys had seen the game, but, I mean, I'm not going to make excuses for Cam Newton, but it wasn't ideal football conditions for him in week one of the season, so don't get me wrong, obviously he's going to play in rain, he's going to play in bad turf. Obviously, so I'm not going to make excuses for him. What I will say is I think when you add that in conjunction with a week one game where it was a sloppy play in general, then it hurts them. You know, they had, like, negative rushing yards in the game by D'Angelo Williams. What? Really? Like, you know, they also had Jonathan Stewart not play due to injury. You know, they played bad again. I watched the Panther games because I have a friend who's also a big Panthers fan. It helps that Cam Newton, whom I'm in love with. But Cam played bad. But to me, it's like more of a one-game type of situation. I don't expect it to keep going on. If it does, then I will address it when that does happen, but I don't think it will.
And all I'll say is this. Killer is a Bucks fan, and he wants to know what we think about the Bucks. Killer, not much. That's all I got to say about the Bucks. let's see if the Bucks can pull out a couple
wins. Let's also keep in mind, real quick, I just want one more thing. Let's also keep in mind it's a divisional game, so these things tend to go sometimes either way.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so we're about to do our week two picks. And, Train, you are the statistician. You are the one keeping track. And, although I'm sure everyone out there in the Madden voice already knows. But, Train, why don't you tell everybody who won week one? Who came out ahead in the week one picks? That's all I want to know.
Week one, there was a tie at 3-2. Yeah, that was a tie. I think you had Dallas. You had Denver. And you had end of week one results. T came out at 4-1. I came out at 3-2, and K Star came out at 2-3. Yeah,
and that's fine. That's fine. So I just want to remind everyone, I'm the unofficial winner of last year's stats and everything of who picks who to win, you know, win loss column. I'm the unofficial. I'm the unofficial winner. So that's fine. I'll start out slow. I'll play week one's Cam Newton. It's okay because Superman's coming. Don't you worry out there, people. I'll win this little race right here. Yeah.
I'm wondering why we bring it up last year. I mean, I never bring up last year. You know, I mean, I don't know why you always feel the need to bring up last year. I'm not the kind of guy that brings up last year.
All right. Obviously, Sears won this game. They're on defense, total yards and scoring, playing one of the most anemic offenses in all of football. The ankle for Big Ben is a lot better than what it was against San Francisco, which. It's definitely good news, but while we lost Mendenhall, Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown, two prolific receivers for us, I just don't see how, Tim Tebow and the Broncos can match us point for point at Mile High. Again, that offense is just horrendous to begin with, and they're playing against their one defense in the league. Troy Polamalu, James Harris, Lamar Woolsey, they're coming for you, Tim Tebow. I love you, but not this Sunday. Not this time.
Coming for you, Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
All right. You know what I was going to do? I was going to play. I didn't get it, though. Mike Tomlin was looking for some Mike Tomlin quotes. I was going to play one just to pick you up because I noticed you've vanished off Twitter for a little while. And, I was going to play, we're going to unleash hell on them or one of those great motivational Mike Tomlin quotes. But I didn't. But anyway, all right. So let's get into week two, previews and picks. And, we got six games for week two, and what I will tell everyone now is I did not include the Cowboys because I don't think the Cowboy Seahawks game would rank in the top six. The Seahawks lost, the Cowboys won. I didn't really think there was a need. There's a lot better games, so I'm not gonna waste time on that. But we will go over it next week when the Cowboys win. All right, so first game Thursday night, Bears travel to Green Bay. We saw the Packers, and I agree with both you guys. Newton, I don't know if you're out there listening, brother. Got a lot of respect for your loyalty for your team, but your team did not show up against these 49ers. Or maybe the 49ers are just that good. It's too soon to tell, but damn. 49ers look dominant, and I got a lot of respect for the Packers. I'm sorry?
He said Newton. You mean Rodgers.
No. Newton, our listener, Newton, who is a huge Packer fan.
Where is that guy?
Yeah, he's a huge Packers fan, but I know he's hurting over this one because, I mean, damn. But that said, let's go right to the man himself. The Bears are traveling to Lambeau Field. Bears had a nice win, looking good. Did what they were supposed to do against the Colts. Packers at home did not look good against the 49ers. Train, do you guys send the Packers to 0-2?
Yes. Quickly, but that's not like a
We're going to smash him. Yes, I want us to smash him. Trust me. But
right.
I still have respect for that team. This is just football, period. Football knowledge. Look, it's a rival game every year. And I still have respect for the team. Yeah, they lost. They did lose against the 49ers, but they don't play the 49ers twice a year. They do play Chicago twice a year. And right now, they do have our number. Aaron Rodgers does have our number. He knows how to break down our D. He knows how to be elusive enough in the pocket to make plays. So, you know, with that said, Chicago has to take a blueprint from San Francisco, and they have to take a blueprint from the Giants playoff game against them. You got to get to Aaron Rodgers. You have to stop Aaron Rodgers. And I really do think Chicago has it this year. They have the defensive line that can get to Aaron Rodgers. They have the defense that can do it. But most importantly, we have an offense that can put up some points. We all know Green Bay defense yields yards. They yield a lot of yards. They did it against San Francisco, but they're very opportunistic defense. They ranked tied number one with San Francisco for turnovers, but they got none against San Francisco Sunday. So we limit our turnovers, zero if any, and put that pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Chicago can do it, and they have the defense to do it. They have the offense to score. So there's no reason why Chicago shouldn't come out of Green Bay with a win. With that said, you know I'm picking Chicago.
K-Star?
It's hard to imagine Green Bay falling 0-2.
Imagine it, son. Think about it. It can happen.
All right. K-Star?
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, and it can happen. However, I mean, look, I think the Bears can actually replicate a lot of what San Francisco did on the offensive end as far as controlling the clock, running the ball, keeping Aaron Rodgers off the field. But this is a division rivalry, and you alluded to it earlier. Aaron Rodgers knows how to make plays against that, you know, Lovie Smith defense. Brian Urlacher isn't at 100%. He's not blooded because he used to be. You know, he used to be the guy that would give Aaron Rodgers some fits. Can he still do that in coverage? We don't know yet. We'll see. But I don't believe that the Bears, this game, and again, I picked them to win the division. I don't think this game, it's time for them to beat Green Bay just yet, especially Lambeau Field. We're not going to drop two in a row at Lambeau. I just don't see that happening. Aaron Rodgers is too good. He's going to remind us why he's the best quarterback in the league. So I'm going to go with Green Bay Falcons.
If the Bears win, they will make a huge statement. It is a great opportunity for the Bears to go up two games on the team that many people picked to win the division. And so there should be a heightened sensitivity. I mean, to be in week two and have the ability to be up two games on the Packers, I mean, the Bears really need to go in there and play well. But that said, I mean, if it was in Chicago, I'd probably pick the Bears, but it's in Lambeau. I agree with K-Star. I cannot see the Packers losing two in a row at home, number one. And number two, they also know they don't want to go down two games and start off the season 0-2. And, you know, if this isn't a must-win for the Eagles, it's definitely a must-win for the Packers. So I'm going to pick the Packers to beat the Bears. Ravens travel to Philly to play the Eagles, another must-win. Very similar situation, although the Eagles actually did get the win, so maybe the urgency isn't quite the same, but they played like crap. And if they want to wipe out the stain that has left in the city of Philadelphia, because I've spoken to many Philly fans, and they do not like what they're seeing from their team, so they need to win. They don't just need to play well. They need to go ahead and beat the Ravens. That said, I'm just going to start off by saying I don't think it's going to happen. The Ravens looked that good last night, and I think they're going to go into Philly, and I don't think Philly's just going to turn it on like that. They're just not. They're going to play better, but it won't be enough. I'm picking the Ravens. K-Star.
I really want Philadelphia to win this game for a number of reasons. I don't even need to get into them. I just don't see it happening. Look at it like this. I mean, Michael Vick struggled mightily against the Cleveland pass defense, which, you know, was ranked number one last year. But I think it's safe to say that Ed Reed scares you way more than anyone does in that Cleveland secondary. I think we'd all agree that Baltimore knows how to create pressure with their packages, and Holodinato is a beast up front. The one thing about Philadelphia's defense is they're very great in pass coverage. However, they've been susceptible to getting against the run. Well, here's Ray Rice coming, you know, to Philadelphia. I see the Ravens winning this game.
Trey?
Yeah, I had to agree with both of y'all. I mean, like I said before, what Philly did against Cleveland is correctable. They can correct it. But what I saw from the Ravens was I don't think Philly has enough. The Ravens look great. And with that said, I think they go in Philly and then go 2-0.
All right. Saints upset by RG3 Skins will now travel to Carolina to play the Panthers, who were mildly upset by those Bucks. And so both teams in a must-win situation, division game. Do the Saints rebound, or does their slide to begin continue? Train, what do you think? Saints going to Carolina to play the Hall of Fame-led Panthers.
Wow, Panthers look so horrible last week, man. Boy, you know what? I'm still going to have to go with the Saints on this one. I may be wrong. The Panthers may be able to pull it out at home, man. But they just looked so horrible last week. And it may only be 1 week, and it may be correctable, but they looked really bad. It was like they were not prepared for the first game of the season. And it was against the Bucks, not taking anything away from the Bucks, but still. You know, the Bucks wasn't thought to be that good. The Panthers were thought to be better. So I'm going to take the Saints.
Okay, sir.
Taking the Panthers out of home, the Saints, I still feel like offensively it's going to take a while for them in games to generate a lot of points. They usually start fast and furious, but without Sean Payton and that script and that unique game plan they have week to week, it's going to catch up to them. I'm going with Carolina at home. I feel like they'll get the running game going. The Saints' defense was terrible last week, and now they're going to be in Carolina. I think Cam Newton has a lot to prove after last week's abysmal performance. I'm going with the Carolina Panthers.
I just do want to remind you, I agree with the defense, but I do want to remind you the Saints did score 32 points when you talk about their offense.
Yeah, but they're playing catch up late, and they did. Well,
they still put up 32 points. I mean, 32 points is 32 points. 32 points would have won 70% of the NFL games. So, I mean, but their defense did look horrible. I can't argue that point with you at all. Their defense looked. You said Cam Newton, you know, he needs to have a better game. Breeze made some mistakes in this game. He did put up 32 points, but I watched that game, and Breeze made a lot of mistakes in that game. Just bad reads and throws that aren't what I'm used to seeing from Drew Brees, and he's my fantasy quarterback in both leagues, so I watch him as much as I can, and he didn't look the same to me. A lot of it probably had to do with the Skins defense. So that said, I think he's got a little bit more to prove at this point, because he's on such a higher level right now than Cam. Cam's still up and coming, but Breeze has arrived. So with that said, I got to go with the Saints to go ahead and get this win. They can't go down 0-2. I mean, you know. We didn't talk about the Jets because, to be honest with you, I think it's a bunch of hype. I was wrong. They came out and scored 48 points, and Sanchez knew something that that we didn't know. I did have it on the agenda, but, you know, I don't know. I kind of thought it through. I really didn't think of a need to really spend a lot of time on it because they were playing the Bills, and the Bills weren't that good anyway. But let me just publicly say I was wrong. I mean, they scored 48 points. Sanchez knew something we didn't know, okay? And they looked good against the Bills, but let me remind you, the Bills are not that good. I think they finished 5-11 last year, so they're not that good. That said, they now have to go and play what should be a very pissed off Pittsburgh Steelers team in Pittsburgh, and out of respect, I'm going to give this one to K-Star to start.
The last time these two teams played was an AFC Championship game in 2010, and Steelers were victorious. A couple of years later, the Jets are a mess. I don't care if they won their week one game, as T said. The Bills are terrible. I think that's a bad matchup for the Bills anyway. They'll be blown up by the Jets. Saying that, Mark Sanchez is probably playing a really good defense. Ryan Clark will be there, as will James Harrison. Steelers are pissed off. Usually when Steelers drop a game, they come back with vengeance, especially in an emotional game like it was last week at Denver. So all that being said, the Steelers are the more balanced team, I believe, on offense and defense. And I mean, let's compare quarterbacks real quick. Big Ben versus Mark Sanchez in Pittsburgh. I'll take Big Ben and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Trey?
Is Harrison coming back?
Yes.
Okay. That's enough. Yeah, I'm taking the Steelers, man. I mean, the Bills are bad. just did look good. I mean, I can't really take anything from them, but once again, they did play the Bills and the Steelers. They're still a team to beat in the AFC, so, and they're at home, so yeah, Steelers.
Rivalry game now. These two are certain rivals. You know, two perennially decent defenses. But I can't go against the Steelers this one. I think they should have a chip on their shoulder. They should be upset, you know. I mean, the Ravens are looking really good in that division, and the Steelers need to keep the Ravens in their sight. And they're home now. You know, Ryan Clark will be back. Harrison will be playing. I don't know the status of Mendenhall. I am concerned about the Steelers, though, because I'm telling you, K-Star, I'm telling you, Todd Haley, I'm telling you, he's not the guy. But we're going to let the season play out and see. But that said, it's the Jets. I'm not impressed with the Jets. They killed the Bills. The Bills suck. So I got to go with the Steelers on this one as well. Lions, Sunday night, go to, I don't know what it's called now, but I still call it Candlestick Park. But whatever, go to San Francisco and play the 49ers. Detroit at San Francisco. This is a Sunday night game. I'll start this one. You guys know that I never bought into the Lions. Just I never did, and I'm still not buying into them. I'm still not. I still think they're the third best team in the NFC North behind the Bears and the Packers. And I think the way the 49ers played against the Packers, I mean, just if I think the Ravens are the class of the AFC after week one, I'd have to say the 49ers are the class of the NFC after week one, just by the way they played in Lambeau against the Packers. And now they're going home and hosting the Lions, and the Lions are going to get to play in that dome. Yeah, and I'm even going to go and say this one could get ugly. I'm even going to say that. I think this one could be 14, 17 points. That's how much I think the 49ers are going to win this one by. So I'm going with the 49ers. Train?
It could possibly lead to a blowout, but it could possibly also lead to a brawl as far as getting ugly because, Detroit is full of street thugs. But even with that said, man, I'm still taking the 49ers. They did go and this is not last season, but they did go in Detroit last season and run the ball down their throats. And now the game is in Candlestick Park where they don't have to contend with the crowd. And with the way San Francisco played against Green Bay, I think Green Bay is the better team as far as Green Bay and Detroit is concerned. Yeah, I think they take it from Detroit, definitely.
Okay, Star.
I, too, am going San Francisco and then a blowout. The Niners just match up so against the Lions. I mean, I know last year was close, but this is in Candlestick Park. And moreover, the Niners right now are a much better team offensively than they were a year ago at Detroit. Alex mentioned some great poise and efficiency, and they're just a well-ironed team. They're just well-oiled. They're just really, they're really, really good. I think they will take away Megatron from Detroit matched up as much as they can. And there's no actually eliminating Megatron because it's still Megatron's the best receiver in all the NFL, in my opinion. But, again, the San Francisco 49ers are just too deep. You know, at all the skill positions, they have multiple guys that can hurt you, whether it's Manningham, Moss, Vernon Davis, you know, Michael Crabtree, and the running back position. They're skilled. I got to go with the 49ers and blowout.
Yeah, I do want to make one note here is that I'm saying that right now, and it's early in the season, so I understand that, but 49ers class of the NFC, Ravens class of the AFC, just based off of the first week performances that both were so dominant, and we do know that they're coached by the Harbaugh brothers, so just thought I'd make that note. Last game, Broncos, very impressive win over the Steelers, K-Star Steelers, traveling to Atlanta to play the Falcons, who actually looked pretty good in their first game. So this is a Monday night game, and could be the game of the week as far as I think this is a pretty good matchup and should be a pretty good game. And I'm going to start with K-Star on this one.
I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos. You know, the Falcons are a great home team. They seem to be transitioning to a passing team with Julio Jones, a dynamite wide receiver who I'm very high on, as you guys know. And also on my fantasy team, the AFL, and I believe I had the most points scored last week. But nonetheless, again, this will be a very entertaining game. The strength of the Falcons, as far as, in my opinion, goes, is the passing game. And the strength of the Broncos defense is the pass defense. They have two edge rushers in Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil, and now they have added another man-to-man cornerback in Tracy Porter, who can also make plays along, you know, side Shane Bailey. So I got to go with Denver. There's no stopping Peyton Manning. There really isn't. He answered any question we had last week whether he's still Peyton Manning, and he is, which means he's probably the best quarterback in the league. So the Falcons are going to – they're not going to make any adjustments. They're going to, you know, throw Peyton Manning off. The only way the Falcons have a chance in this game is if that crowd noise just gets them a – you know, a nice sack or two, but I just don't see it really being too close to the game. I think it'll be high scoring at first, but the Broncos are just more balanced of a football team. I got to go with Denver.
Train?
I'm on the road with the Falcons at home, man. Matt Ryan has a very good record at home. He plays very well at home, man. I'm just, I picked the Falcons to take the NFC South. And it definitely starts with beating a team that's, the caliber of Denver to do so. You know, you may have to see them maybe in the Super Bowl. We don't know. But, I'm going to go with the Falcons at home.
This one was a tough one for me because I think both teams are going to play very well. It came down to two things. Peyton Manning impressed me that much and the Broncos' defense. But I think Train makes an excellent point about how well the Falcons play at home. But Michael Turner didn't really show up last week. And maybe they just didn't need him, but he didn't really show up and do much. I'm going to go in a close game. I'm going to go with the Broncos. It might be one of those Peyton Manning 2-minute drill, 28-27 type games, down the stretch, but I got to go with the Broncos. Upset, and this doesn't have to be part of our picks. This can just be more for fun. But I like to talk about who we think would be an upset of the week. And I use Yahoo as kind of my barometer as what would be considered an upset. And Yahoo has Buffalo at 63% over Kansas City at 37%. Okay. I don't know what people are smoking picking these games, but I'm not a huge Kansas City fan, but I think they're going to beat Buffalo in Buffalo. So that's my upset pick of the week. K-Star?
Oh, is he still with us? Did we lose him?
I don't know. Train, go ahead. He's still on, but Train, go ahead.
Man, I was just trying to look for a game, and upset.
Well, if you want,
let me come back in here real quick. I'm sorry about that. I was muted. I was talking myself.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah, actually, I kind of already made my upset. I take the Saints to lose to the Panthers. The Saints are favored by 2.5 points.
Let's see. Let me find. All right. So, okay, yep. 83% to 17% on that one. 83% picking the Saints, and you're gonna pick the Panthers.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Upset.
Well, I can give you your upset of the week. Would you like it, Train? I can give it to you.
Favored by that much?
Green Bay.
You don't have to do it again. 84%
picking Green Bay over Chicago.
Wow. Thank you, that will be my upset of the weekend.
I got to tell
you.
That is very disrespectful to the
band.
That's very disrespectful. That
84.
Almost makes you want to go back and rethink my pick.
Yeah, I kind of agree. That's pretty bad.
I'll take that as my upset. That's how they want to roll. 84%?
Wow.
What's that?
That's not a real upset, though.
60-40?
Wow. Wow. And at the same time, you got Atlanta, Denver, where Atlanta's 52% and Denver's 48%. And so I don't know, man. Disrespectful to the Bears. So,
hey,
yeah.
I would like to say this, though. As far as the upsets of the peak last week, everyone went 1-0. I can keep a record of it if y'all want me to, but everybody got their upset there.
Keep a record of it separately, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, guys. Great show as usual, and real. We're off and running. The Madden Voice. K-Star. Any final words?
Watch what the Steelers do to the Jets this weekend. We all thought all preseason the Jets were bad. The Steelers about to show you how good they are and how bad the Jets are. Can't wait.
Okay. Train, final words?
As always, guys, I love this. Another great show. Hey, Jay Cutler, if you want to keep putting out PSAs, by all means, you do what the hell you want to do as long as you're winning. So, with that said, man, go Bears. I cannot wait for Thursday. I'm glued to the TV already.
There you go. All right. Train, K-Star, appreciate it. You guys are great. Love the show. And we'll talk to you guys next week. And as far as everybody out there in Madden Voice land, just make sure you guys do me a favor. Tell a friend to tell a friend, okay? We need more of you out there listening. And those of you who are listening, the podcast numbers are excellent. And we appreciate all of you that download our show on iTunes or off the Blog Talk Radio site. But just tell a friend to tell a friend about the Madden Voice. Call in, email us, tweet us, let us know what you think about the show. Let us know how we can improve. We're going to be here for you every week right up through the playoffs. The Madden Voice will be here. And so for Dr. Train and for K-Star, I want to say thank you. We'll see you next Tuesday at 8 o'clock. And remember, here on the Madden Voice, all feuds are ultimately settled on the field. Good night.